Well, have you ever been to a place where you knew you didn't belong? You ever been to a place like that? This series graphic, when I see this, as we're starting a new series, it reminds me of times when I've wanted to go inside of a stadium that was closed before. I'm a big Tennessee Volunteers fan, and I remember when I was little, getting the opportunity to kind of sneak to the place where you can barely see a little bit through the tunnel. And there was a little bit of crack in the fence, and I was really tempted. I'm kind of a rule follower to go through the gate of the fence, but I was too scared to do it. But I wanted to go in so badly, but I knew I didn't belong. Maybe you've done something like that before. To me, it oftentimes happens at hotels that are extremely expensive that I would not really pay to go and be a part of, but I want to go see it. In fact, when Mandy and I went to New York City a couple months ago, we were up in the Central Park area of New York City, and there I saw it. It was the hotel that's on the movie Home Alone 2. And, you know, as a kid that, like, grew up watching that stuff, I love that movie. And so I was like, we've got to go in. And they give it a different name in the movie and all that stuff. But we knew, like, we didn't belong in this hotel. And there was a bellman standing outside of the hotel looking just like that. And so we just said, let's just go in there and act like we belong. And so we start walking up. And I was so worried that they were going to, like, kick us out. Like, we know you're not a guest here. But we started walking in. And sure enough, the bellman was so nice. He smiled just like that, and he opened the door for us, and we felt like $1 million as we walked through the doors. And when we got inside, it was one of those things where we looked around and it was like, wow, this is awesome. This is the way people live now. But it was one of those things where we were looking around, and Mandy and I turned to Mandy and I said, look, just act like you belong. And she was like, I feel like I belong, you know. There's shops in here. It's okay. But I'm such a rule follower that I was so scared to walk. As I was walking around, I was looking around and seeing all the surroundings, but I kept kind of looking over my shoulder and wondering if somebody might tap me on the shoulder and tell me, sir, you're not a guest here. You don't belong here. You need to leave. And I think when many people come to church, they have a very similar thought, maybe a similar worry. And that's what comes to mind, I think, for so many people. Even people, especially people who are not yet followers of Jesus, oftentimes come to church and kind of window shop what's going on inside these walls. Can I get a different love in here that's found out in the world? What's everything like? What is this God stuff like? And so what happens is that I think the big fear that many of us, whether you're a believer or not, when you come to a church, wonder if you're going to walk in and sit in somebody's seat that you're not supposed to sit in or something like that, or somebody might tap you on the shoulder and tell you, we're sorry, you don't belong here. But I want you to know we're doing this series because the church is a place for everyone. The church is a place for everyone. In fact, in the church and in the family of God, there is a place for everyone. So in this series, we're going to be talking about that and what it means specifically to belong. What it means to belong to God, but also the spot that God has carved out just for you and for me, for each and every one of us to belong to the family of God, to the body of Christ, to the church. Because if you're a believer, it's not just about you and your relationship with God. Sometimes in America, we get that confused in the church where we see ourselves. We've got the Christian radio where we can sing all the songs that we sing in worship, and we have all awesome messages you can listen to online and on the radio. You can get almost everything at your fingertips now. You can have church in your car and everything. But there's got to be something more to this church stuff than listening to a sermon and singing songs. And I think sometimes we have forgotten in the American church. And we let ourselves become like silos where it's about us and God. But we forget sometimes that we weren't created to do faith alone. You weren't created to do faith alone. In fact, the Bible teaches that you were formed for God's family. Now, some of you, when you hear the word family, some really good things come to mind and some really not so good things come to mind. Because sometimes you may think of like Thanksgiving dinners when the dysfunction of the family comes out. Well, in the kingdom of God, we're all family. Everybody is. And so in every family, there's great things and there's also some difficult things. But God uses the family to teach us how to better love one another, to teach us to be less selfish and how to love one another. And sometimes we don't realize the interconnectedness of our life and our faith to everyone else in the body of Christ. In fact, one of the things that we feel a lot here is if you're missing or if another family's missing, we miss you. Because the thing that happens is it's the church is not just about worshiping the Lord, singing songs, and hearing a message. It's about also connecting together. There's a place for everyone, and you have a place. And so in this series, we're doing this series because I don't want you to get robbed of the opportunity. I don't want you to miss the opportunity to be supported, connected, loved, and have a specific role in the family of God. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And so I think this series is going to stretch you individually, but I think it's also going to stretch us together as a church. But I know that as we move through this series, that God is going to grow our faith and going to grow us together in a very powerful way. But before we talk about your role in the family of God, today we're going to be focusing on that we belong. That we belong, first and foremost, to God. So the message today is called, Welcome to the Family. Welcome to the Family. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and take those out, if you have them with you, to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 14. If you don't have a Bible with you, no worries, or a smartphone, that's good too. The words will be on the screen. But we also offer free Bibles every Sunday on our connection point. If you don't have one in your home, or if you have one that's kind of like, what am I reading? It sounds kind of archaic language. Feel free to pick one up at the connection point. We just give those out for free because we know that when we read the Word of God in the in conjunction with what the Holy Spirit does, that God can change your life through that. So I want to let you know about that opportunity. Well, this morning, as is our custom, let's stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's Word from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And I'm not going to do it all in one breath, but I want you to know that in the Greek language, when the Apostle Paul writes this, it's all one sentence, verses 3 through 14. It's almost like the Apostle Paul is so excited about the love of God that he just can't contain himself, and he keeps speaking in these long run-on sentences. So I'm sorry, English teachers. This is what the Word of the Lord says from the Apostle Paul about how awesome God's grace is for us. It says this in verse 3, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That means that none of us are lacking anything in Christ. Verse 4, it says this, For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now verse 11, it says this, In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. You can have a seat. Now, as you're hearing these words, I have to be honest. You're probably wondering, what in the world is he saying? What is this all about? He's using all these theology terms and weaving and winding things about the way God loves us and all sorts of things. And what he's trying to do, and the reason he's speaking in these large run-on sentences, is because he's speaking about something so crazy, something that he's experienced that's so real that he can't contain himself. It's something that can even, that changed his life, and Paul is saying can also change our lives as well. And so here's what he's talking about. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you believe or what you've done. God has carved out a place just for you to belong to his family, to be a part of his family. See, I don't want us to just skim over that, because let me put this in different context. God, who is the creator of everything, God, who is the Lord over everything that's visible and invisible in this world and whatever galaxies there are, he's the Lord of everything. The God of the universe has a plan and purpose for you and for me to belong. That's amazing grace that we sang about. See, that's what Jesus' death and resurrection has won for you. It means that you have an opportunity to belong. And so Christianity isn't just about believing a few things about God. It's about the opportunity to belong. In fact, when Jesus called his disciples, he didn't wait until they believed everything about him. He didn't wait until they believed all the right things. He didn't wait until they acted a certain way. He simply invited them to belong before they believed. Jesus invited his disciples to belong before they believed. You may remember in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus calls the first disciples, Peter and Andrew. And they were fishermen. They were just normal guys. They were normal people. And he called them just as they were to come follow me. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of people. So he was giving them a different purpose. And they dropped everything and they followed him. And I've always read this and I've wondered, why in the world would they do that? I mean, let's just put this in a different context, in kind of your lives and our lives, stuff that we experience. Imagine that you are the administrative assistant or the secretary to a large Fortune 500 company, and you're in a large facility. There's a big building. It's, you know, several stories high, and you're kind of the front person that kind of allows people in and out. When people have meetings, they come to you and they check in to you. And so imagine you're doing your work, you're doing all your business, you're doing all the stuff, and someone, this random person comes up to you, and it kind of creeps you out because they look at you and they say, come follow me. I mean, what would you do? If it were me, I'd pick up the phone and I'd say, I need to get the police right now. I need to get somebody over here. You would kick them out and you would not follow them. So what's going on here? Why is it that these disciples dropped everything and they followed Jesus? Well, I want you to imagine now that you're at this large company. You're the secretary. You're the administrative assistant. And all of a sudden, everybody starts to kind of look differently. Everybody starts to kind of straighten up and whisper to one another as this man in a very nice-looking suit walks through the doors. And as everybody's whispering, you kind of catch the drift that they're saying, this is the CEO of the company. This is the CEO of the entire company. And you know the CEO, he owns the building. You know that he owns the business. He's the one that makes the decisions. And so he's walking in. Everybody has a different demeanor. They start straightening up. And as he's walking in, you start to watch him. And you've never seen him before. He's kind of a stranger, but you've heard about him. And as he walks closer and closer, he starts walking closer to you. And you start looking around and wondering, is there somebody around me? Who is he coming to? And finally, he stops right in front of your desk, and he says to you, come follow me. Now, if it's a CEO who owns the building, who owns the company, that changes things, because you drop everything that you would be doing at that point. You would drop anything that you thought was important, because when the CEO says, I want you to come follow me, you know that what he is asking you to do is more important than what you were doing at that moment. And so you would drop everything you were doing, and you would come and follow him. And I think that's what's going on with the disciples. The CEO of the kingdom of God has come in Jesus Christ. And they've heard the murmurings about who he is. They've heard that this is the Son of God. And as he walks up to these disciples who weren't good enough in so many circles, these people who weren't accepted in a lot of different religious circles, they were dirty fishermen. They start looking around because they've heard this is the king, this is the one that's coming. And he starts walking up to them and he says, come follow me. And they drop everything that they had and everything that they were doing, because when the CEO calls you, you know that it's an important thing. And so they dropped everything and they followed him. And so Jesus was saying something really crazy to these disciples who always felt like they weren't in. He was saying to them, listen, I want you to know you belong. You belong. Come follow me. So before they came to believe, Jesus said that they belonged. And so it's interesting that sometimes we get this backwards in the church. We get this backwards oftentimes in the church. In fact, we look at people and we oftentimes expect people to believe and then you can belong. But that's not the way the kingdom of God works. In fact, that's why so many churches unintentionally are built to only reach church people. It's for a whole lot of church people who know the drill, who have done the thing, who have known Jesus and all this stuff. And it's made for those on the inside. And I'm thankful the Fountain isn't like that. It's always been a church that's outwardly focused. That's who we are. That's our identity. That's who God's called us to be. I mean, from the beginning, that's who we've been. In fact, I love that that some people at the Fountain have come to believe in Jesus because they first belonged. Sometimes people will get connected in a serve team. They'll start serving alongside of other people. Or maybe get connected in a refresh group. And what I've seen, what's been so cool, is allowing people to belong before they believe. What's happened is they spent time with people in the family of God belonging and being welcomed and experienced what this Christian deal is all about. And later, people chose to believe and to be part of God's family. It's cool how that works out. See, the thing that's cool is that once you believe, you're not just invited anymore to just hang out at the Christian parties and at the family circles. That once you believe, God says you belong, you're family, you're part of the family. And so that's really the biblical pattern. Belong, believe, and then your family. Belong, believe, and then your family. And so that's kind of what we strive to do and create a welcoming environment where everybody can belong so that they can be introduced to Jesus so that they can eventually believe and be part of that family. And the reason this is huge is because we're tempted, all of us are tempted to believe in some way that we don't belong. That we don't belong. Maybe you know people. Maybe you know people who say, oh, I can't go to a church thing because I don't know that I would belong. See, have you ever seen those bumper stickers or signs that say, God loves you? Have y'all ever seen stuff like that? I feel like my whole life I've seen stuff like that. God loves you. In fact, I grew up in a great church and was told that from like the moment I was born. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And I think most of us are okay to say, yeah, God loves you. But what's hard to believe sometimes is how God could love me, how God could love us. We look at our lives and we say, well, how could God love someone like me? And the answer to all of that, and what Paul is talking about, the answer to it is grace. Grace. See, the temptation is to look at ourselves by our own efforts and our own errors and to convince ourselves that we're out. But grace says you're in. Grace says you're a part of it. See, grace is that love of God that's given to us as a free gift. We can't ever buy it back. We can't ever earn it. It's just given to us. It's like a gift that God says, I want to give you this. I want to give you this opportunity to belong. That's why Paul says in verse 7 and 8 that we can belong because God's grace has been lavished on us. Now, the thing I love about that word lavished, it's such a cool word when you think about it. It's not just God's grace has been given to you. It's been lavished. And the word lavish means that something expensive, extravagant, or generous has been used to cover with a thick, abundant layer over top of you. And so that's kind of what's happened. God's grace has been this expensive, extravagant, generous gift has been covered with a thick layer over every single one of us. And so when God sees you and sees your life, and when you present your list of everything that you've ever done to God, and you say, God, I don't belong because of this, God says, no, I've lavished my grace on you. And when I see you, I don't see what you've done and all the errors that you've had in your life. I see my son Jesus. And what he's done for you on the cross. I see him and I look at you and I see him, his righteousness. And I say through his eyes and through seeing him and the grace that's covering you, you belong. Because that grace has been lavished and covered over you. And so you're no longer, your identity is no longer a stranger or an orphan or someone who's alone. You belong because of God's grace that's covered you. And so you have to understand, because God is love, God treasures relationships. God treasures relationships. In fact, that's what we're talking about the entire series, is relationships between God and between one another. And God treasures relationships. And it's because God's very nature is relational. We know of God. When we speak of God, we speak in relational terms. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're family terms. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that may kind of seem funny to talk about it like that, but I want to remind you of the Father, Son, and Spirit in that order, because it's a reminder that God didn't need a family. God didn't need anything. I mean, God was in this perfect, loving relationship with himself. That's kind of funny to say, but it's reality. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all in this perfect, loving relationship, and they didn't need anything. But God chose to create a family. God wanted to share his love with us. He desired to create you and me and to bring us into his family and to share with us all he has and all he is. when love is inside of your life, you can't help but wanting to share that. And that started with God wanting to share that with us. And so that's why in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says that we are chosen. We just sang about that. We're chosen. We're adopted. Chosen means that you've been picked special or hand selected. I remember as a little kid getting to play on the playground, play some kind of game. Usually it was in elementary school, and we would often do these competitive games of kickball or soccer. And there was usually two captains. You know the drill, right? There's two captains, and they start picking people. And as they start picking people, one after another, after another, after another, they do that so that the teams will be divided. And the worst fear of anybody is that that for whatever reason, you won't be good enough. And you'll either be the last one that's picked by default, because no one wanted you, so no one really picked you and said, all right, I guess I'll take you, or that you won't be picked at all and you won't be part of the team. That's everybody's greatest fear. Well, the Apostle Paul says in verse 4 something crazy. He says, for he, or God, chose us in him before the creation of the world. Here's what that means. It means that before you could do anything, good, bad, right, or wrong, that God chose to have a relationship with you. God chose you to be part of his family. So before God created you, God loved you. Isn't that cool? I think that's really cool. I have some news to share with some of you. Mandy and I are expecting our second baby. So we have Peyton, and our second baby will be coming in December. And we're so excited about that. But you know what's so cool about that and what we just read of how God has chosen us? It means that before God created that child in his mother's womb or her mother's womb, whatever it is, we don't know, that it means that God loved the child before he created the child. Isn't that awesome? It shows how deep God's love goes in your life. That for so many of us, we walk in the doors of a church and we think, okay, well, this is the time when God started loving me. Or we started going to some kind of Christian thing, this is the time when God started loving me. But in reality, it goes all the way back. That even before you did anything, even before you could do anything, that God loved you. God loved you before you did anything, and before you could do anything good or bad, before you even had a name, God knew your name. He loved you, and he created you, and he has a purpose for your life. And so what does that mean? It means that right now, here and now, no matter where we are, that God can do something in your life that's special because God loved you from the very beginning and he can take you to the end. And so you already know the good news. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I think you live differently when you know you're chosen by God. You already know that there's two different ways that you can be part of a family. You know this. There's two different ways you can be part of a family. First, you can be born into a family. And the second, you can be adopted into a family. And what's cool is that God uses the same illustration, both illustrations, to talk about our relationship with him. He says in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells Nicodemus that a person must be born again in order to have a relationship with Jesus, or in order to be saved. We must be born again. In other words, he's saying Nicodemus was kind of confused. How can I be born again? And Jesus was basically saying, look, your first birth was natural. Just ask your mom about that. But your second birth is a spiritual kind of birth. That God, when you accept Jesus, the moment you say yes to Jesus, God gives you a new birth and makes you alive in a spiritual way so that you become a new creation, being born again. So he uses that illustration. We're born into God's family by being born again. But it also says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we just read that you can be adopted into God's family. You can be adopted into the family. It says in verse 5, in love he predestined us, or chose us, for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. See, we can be adopted through a relationship with Christ, so that just like Christ is a son of God, we get to be sons and daughters of God. And so that means that whatever was given to Christ and what Christ won for us, that God shares that inheritance with all of his children, with anybody who has a relationship with Christ. I love that adoption analogy. In fact, we had an incredible adoption story here at this church. We had been praying for 2 years. And a few months ago came to realization. Jonathan and Brittany Maloney, we actually did a series early on when we first started a church called Adopted, and we had them share their story a little bit, but they were called to adopt a baby. And they had been praying, and we had been praying for that baby. We didn't know where the baby would come from, but we knew that it was God's plan to give them a baby. They wanted to adopt a child, someone who didn't have a home, and they wanted to adopt them as their very own. Well, a few months ago, they got a call, and it was a call that changed their life. It came out of nowhere, and it was a call that said, the baby's yours, basically, if you can come and get him. And so they, you know, everything that they knew in their lives, they packed up everything that they could, and they went over to Texas, and they went and they saw their little boy for the very first time. And it's such a cool picture of how God chose them to be together, and how Jonathan and Brittany chose that little boy to become part of their family, little baby Lennon. Now he's part of the family. And I think this adoption illustration is so helpful for us, because it means that for us, we didn't start out in God's family, but God our Father has chosen to take us in as his children. He did that through grace. And with that new relationship, we get all the privileges, benefits, and responsibilities that come with being his children. We get his unconditional love, just like any father or mother would love their sons and daughters. We get our Father's protection and his teaching and his provision. We also get to share in his mission of love to the world. You know, for me, I remember when I was in the seventh grade, I was on a youth trip, and we were sitting around late at night and talking a little bit about our faith. And I can look at it now and say it was a very Holy Spirit ordained time, because we would normally have been talking about girls or football or wrestling and seeing who was stronger. But this was a time we started asking like really big questions, looking back on it, about faith and God and where we belonged. And we started actually opening the Bible and saying, well, what does this say? And that's why I say it was a God ordained moment, because somehow God wrangled up these crazy seventh grade boys. But we were talking, and these seventh grade boys, God used them to tell me something really important. They told me that you can't just hang around the church. You can't just hang around the church and just hear about God's love. That you had to do something about it. They told me that in order for me to be saved and be part of God's family, that I had to choose for myself. I had to choose for myself, Jesus. That I couldn't receive salvation on the coattails of my parents. And I couldn't be saved by just hanging around the church and listening to messages. That God has offered me this new birth and this adoption, and it's there for me, but I have to choose Jesus in order to receive it. And so I want you to know that everyone is created by God, and everyone is loved so deeply by God, but you have to choose to be part of God's family. And so God's already chosen you, but we have to make a decision to choose Jesus back. And so the moment you accept Jesus, what I love is that God runs to you with open arms as our Heavenly Father and hugs us like the prodigal son and says, you belong. Welcome to the family. And so maybe you've been hanging around the church for a while and have been experiencing and belonging what it's like to be around the family of God. But maybe you've never chosen for yourself to accept Christ, to accept that grace that's been offered for you. Well, today I want to give you that opportunity as we pray in just a minute. If that's you and you said, you know what, I do want to accept Christ. I do want Christ in my life. We're going to pray for that, and you can be part of God's family. Or maybe today maybe you're a believer already, and maybe you've never been baptized. And maybe you've never been baptized. And I want you to know, baptism symbolizes the incorporation into God's family. It's kind of the way to say to the world, I'm not ashamed to be part of the family. I'm not ashamed to be part of God's family. It's a way to publicly announce to the world that you're a member of the family. And so if you've never been baptized before, I want to encourage you to do that. We're not going to do it today, but you can write on your Connect card. There's a box to check, or you can write baptism. We'd love to talk with you about that, because that's a part of what it means to be part of the family. But I think the question for all of us to ask as we hear this, as we wrestle with our identity and what it means to be loved by God, how might you live differently, knowing that you're covered with God's grace? How does that change the way you live and when you go to work and as you interact with people? And if you're a believer, how does that change your life knowing that you belong to the family of God? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us. We thank you that for those who believe in you, you give us the right to become children of God, not born of natural descent, but born again through your grace. God, we thank you that you also give us the opportunity to be adopted into your family. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. And for anybody who's in here who's saying, you know what, I've never experienced that before. I've never had that grace in my life before. I've never accepted that grace for myself. Maybe today would be the day that you would do that. If you'd like to accept Jesus, if you'd like to say yes to God's grace for the first time, maybe you'd pray with me, just in your head. God will hear your heart. But maybe you'd pray something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross. And thank you for loving me before you even created me. God, today, at this very moment, I want to say yes to you. You've already said yes to me. You offered to save me of my sins. You offer me the opportunity to be part of your family, and today I say yes. I want to accept that for myself. Accept that through faith with everything that I know how. And God, I pray that you would fill the gaps of everything that I can't. God, I pray that you would save me of my sins and you would adopt me forever into your family. Allow me to experience that life that's now a new creation in you. And if you pray that, in just a minute, you can check on the box that you committed your life to Jesus Christ on your Connect card. We'd love to follow up with you. But for all of us, God, we thank you for the grace that you have for us. We thank you that you have won us, that you, everything that we are and everything that we have is because of your grace. And so, Lord, I pray that we would experience what that's like and live knowing that we're covered in that grace, that we belong to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.